Welcome to Story Comic Presents, where we interview amazing storytellers and artists. This is episode 350. I'm your host, Barney Smith of StoryComic.com, and we're excited to have back with us the acclaimed writer of comics and award-winning author, Stephanie Nina Pizzarillos.
Barney, you said my name correctly, as you always do. Thank you.
I do. See, I have never messed it up.
No.
I got it. See? It's really funny. Before we actually started the interview, we were talking a little bit about ballet. We were talking about ballet. No, I'm kidding. We weren't talking.
Am I that out of it?
No, what? No. But it was funny. It was interesting because you sent out your press kit. You had your press kit on this thing. You said like your media kit. For your upcoming Kickstarter that we're going to talk about. And you actually had on there, this is how you say my name.
Like, you saw that? Like, you actually went to my...
Yeah.
Let me tell you. You know, sometimes I go on shows and it doesn't happen. And I'm not a stickler for that. But I did go to a nice webinar with the Authors Guild. If you're a member, they have these really helpful... Mm-hmm. And they said, look, your press kit, you know, have a little video. It's like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Have a little video that walks people here. This is how you pronounce the name. So you can make an effort, right? So Authors Guild, thank you for that tip. And Barney, thank you for actually reading the stuff I sent out.
Of course. I mean, it gets very excited about this upcoming Kickstarter that is going to be launched imminently.
Yes.
As of this recording. Talk to us a little bit about this then. Event Horizon.
Yeah. So Event Horizon, Stories of No Turning Back, is a sci-fi, sensual, and literary collection of stories themed around the lore of black holes and their unforgiving boundaries. Yes. So it's a book that it's told in comics, it's told in prose, it's told in original canvas work, and it's told in photography. And I'm very excited about it. It's my debut short story collection that these are narratives that are told with an array of celebrated artists. How I like to describe the book, if people are kind of looking for a mood or like a comp title, it's kind of like... This book is like you being a character in The Expanse, reading bell hooks while sipping a drink at a bar in an asteroid belt with Neil deGrasse Tyson next to you, pointing out some intergalactic mess that's going on in the constellation next door, while your mom is calling you Cosmic Collect to remind you of the reality of your messy life back home on Earth. As you feel the woman on the other side of you slowly running her crystal stiletto heel up your leg. So it's The Expanse meets bell hooks meets Neil deGrasse Tyson is how I like to explain it. I love black holes. I'm a big astrophysics fangirl. So for those that don't know what black holes are, they're these objects in space where have such intense gravity that we say nothing, not even light, can escape their borders, their event horizons. So the book very much plays on the themes of humans and maybe not so humans facing really big cosmic decisions in their lives. And this idea of once you make that decision, there's no turning back from it. It very much plays into when we think of black holes. Once you go in, space and time, this is where it gets kind of wacky, trade places, and any movement forward is towards a future. And I think we can think of that when we're thinking about hard decisions we make. You're just committing to it. You're just committing to some decisions. So sometimes these stories are literal things that take place in living rooms, simple stories that might have emotional impact of everyday things, or sometimes they literally do take place in space on exoplanets and space stations. And it's literally about making a decision on whether to go into a black hole. I'm very excited about it. It's very different. I think it's very genre bending. It's both literary fiction, sci-fi. I would even say it's women's fiction because it very much has a female voice, a female experience, while also inhabiting and inviting the male gaze. And I could keep talking. I'm going to let you ask questions, but that's the gist of the book.
Well, it's amazing where we are now within the exploration of space is very new, especially with the James Webb telescope coming out. How much of your expectation is when you garnered some of these illustrators to have them have some level of understanding and education on what black holes or what's happening in the more new things discovered in space right now?
Yeah. So these are all my stories and sometimes my art as Andromeda, as a visual artist. And then I collaborated with artists on different pieces, okay. Whether it be sequential art, whether it be photography, whether it be original commissioning of original canvas work where I scripted, the art for it, or art that artists gave me permission that they made previously to include in the book. So no one needs to know anything about black holes to either create the art or to read this book, right? I use black holes as a metaphor, so you don't need a PhD. Do not freak out. You do not need a PhD. I do not have a PhD. I'm an astrophysics fangirl. I watch YouTube videos and I read tons of astrophysics books. Black holes are more used as a metaphor. And your walk through everything as much as a sci-fi book that utilizes science in it, okay. In their narratives, right? But I also, the book opens with a map. So I'm excited that ESO, I should have written down, the European Southern Observatory. I could probably correct that if I need to later on, which is a telescope, it's a affiliation of countries in Europe that have a telescope, I believe in Chile, maybe one other place. So they have tons of like pictures and videos that they just have a very generous heart or very much understanding. We want everyone to understand that. So I was able to include in this book one of their picture assets of a black hole. So it actually will map out to you what is a black hole, what is an event horizon, what is an accretion disk, all that crazy energy around circling around the black hole. And I also have an astrophysics professor writing an introductory letter to the book to help guide everyone on some of the concepts that you'll find in these stories. Dr. Marcel Agueros of Columbia University. So you will be all set to read this without kind of feeling overwhelmed. So it does require, it did require of me to have some basic understanding of like what this concept is, not the math. Do not ask me any mathematical questions. The books that one buys and reads as a fan person, astrophysics are really great in writing it for the general audience. But it did require me to try to understand time dilation, try to understand this concept of like how can light be bent by gravity? Because we don't think about that here on Earth.
Right.
So as long as you got one person who's writing or scripting stories, I think you're going to be okay. And certainly as a reader, you're just going to enjoy this ride.
What would you say, you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but who would you say the audience is for this?
So definitely adult. So this is definitely a book that has, just like black holes are very dense and are chaotic. So it does have big life materials in some of these narratives. People are dealing with big adult questions and issues in their lives. It definitely has some steam in it. So for that reason too, it's definitely adult, some nudity in art. And I would say it's for who's this good for? This is good for folks that like to be pleasured intellectually and like to be pleasured with art. Folks that think about big concepts in life that can understand or appreciate or want to know more about how looking up to the cosmos is also looking within. I definitely feel that you know, I want to say particularly women, this is a book that I felt I had to become the woman that I am to write these stories, to have lived life experiences and a great imagination. The book very much deals with human sexuality, the male gaze. What does image do? What does it have to do with pleasure? So pretty much anyone, I think, that likes to think a lot, that wants to get in the mind of womanhood, sexuality, and just like good stories in general, especially if you like genre bending. I mean, I think the fun thing about this book is that each story is standalone, right? But at the same time, they are interconnected. And if you step back, you could see a greater story. So if you kind of haven't read novels in a while, I think part of the social media fatigue, maybe people are having a hard time reading longer works. The nice thing about this is that you could take your time and it changes up. So if attention is an issue for reading a book, you could start out the book starts out with a comic, but then it'll switch to a short story. Then you might see some photography. So definitely if you're finding it hard to complete a novel, but kind of want something dense in what you're going to walk away from, I think you'd find a home in Event Horizon as well. And that's on sci-fi, folks. You got to like, if you like sci-fi, this is the book for you too.
So how would you say that you grew as a author from this?
Ah, wow. That's a great question, Barney. Well, part of this book was my cousin, Aaron Guzman. So I think on every show, I work very well on nudges. And my cousin's like, you got to do a collection of your works. And I'm like, all right, I guess you're right. Like, what am I going to do? And I sat there and thought about it. So this book very much is me stepping back and looking at what are some themes in my past writing. So this book includes some previous publications. I think it's, don't quote me, 3. And things that haven't been published and new pieces that I did specifically for this book. So I was able to, in this process, understand some of the themes that I write about, understand that I'm obsessed with black holes and astrophysics, and realizing that I understand my journey as a writer now. I started out wanted to write science fiction. And I couldn't. I tried. It just didn't work. And it wasn't until, and for those that watch my interviews, this will be a broken record, but it really was this for me. It wasn't until my first writing instructor, Alyssa Albert, said, and this is advice that's shared and she just tweaked it, take what you know and write about what you love. Take what you know and write about what you love. And at the time, I'm like, I have all this family history in my head. I have all this historical knowledge of modern Greece, of New Eureka and life and my nerdy adolescence. And I love comics, right? And it took me years of writing literary fiction, right? And I feel like that's what I'm really good at. And working through my first novel, focusing on New Eureka and first novel was downloading and offloading all that historical knowledge of modern Greece combined with family history and World War II, got that done and out of the way, offloading my New Eureka family stories, and that's the Jean story made into fiction that won the Chautauqua Janus Prize in 2022. And then finally writing my woman identity novel, To Love Like Venus. And actually, Event Horizon has a story called Event Horizon, which is the seed and started this book. I needed that journey to go through speculative fiction, literary fiction, historical fiction, to then say, I get this. Like, I feel like I can now write. I can't write sci-fi maybe in the way like straight sci-fi novels, but I can do literary science fiction. I can do things that are still tied to more human narratives versus like plot-driven stories. So I think I learned very much a lot about my layers. I think I kind of knew that before, but I felt it made more sense. It clicked. And I love being a woman at the age that I am. You know, writing this book, you know, when you have your kids, if that's your choice and you're blessed with it, I feel a little bit more free now. I'm not trying to reproduce, like, knock on wood. and writing this book allowed me to focus more on my identity without these other stages in my life and in my writing and identity layers and getting to that other Stephanie.
Well, hey there. If you're enjoying our podcast, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support means the world to us and helps us keep this show going. We love hearing from you, so any feedback is welcome. And thank you for being a part of our podcast family and for all your support. It truly means a lot to us. Did it have to be like mandatory that it would be a science fiction collection?
No, it didn't have to be mandatory. I just feel, and you know, you could call it women's fiction, you could call it speculative, like you could label this a lot, which is why I think it finds a nice home in Kickstarter, because it's kind of hard to shelve, right?
Right.
it's also very much, you'll see a very New Eurekan identity too in a lot of these stories, and you'll see some Greek too. Sci-fi allows you to talk about big issues and remove yourself and remove the personal and use your imagination, particularly, and this comes up in a lot of Latino, Latinx, whatever word you want to use, conversations on why sci-fi feels home. Well, when you come from colonized pasts, like history is already sci-fi, the things that have been done as being, you know, colonized people and coming from genocide. Right. So kind of it is just, you know, natural. But yeah, it's just sci-fi is so fun. You could just use your imagination. You also don't have to be bound by history. You could make up stuff. Right. And I very much also write in themes of my life or what I'm feeling. And I'm obsessed with black holes in astrophysics. You know, be a little sex positive here. You know, one of the myths of, or, you know, we're told a lot of myths as little girls growing up and about love. And, you know, one thing I was told, you know, after 35, sex is great for a woman. Like, that's when you have your peak, right? Gonna be sex positive. And that shit turned out to be true. Sorry, you could bleep that. I forgot what show I'm on. That, you know, that turned out to be true. I take advantage of what I'm going through. And so I'm like, I'm going to write about this now. This is a tremendous period in my life. And, you know, I'm sure there's lots of layers to why women, again, not having to think about childbearing, maybe, you know, being more confident in self, whatever, all those layers, psychological things that, you know, besides the physiological, that plays a role in what I write. There's just the chance of meeting the right people. And I will say this, in timing, right? Like, so, you know, don't like evaluate everything of when it comes out. Oh, she was going through this. Not necessarily. Could be part of it. But timing for this, I had to establish relationships with artists. I had to get to know them, maybe be a collector. You know, one of the artists in this book is Bluster One, James Alicea. And, you know, we're a patron of his original canvas work. Got to know him and got to like his style. And so that needed time. So definitely part of this book is just also growing to that person and establishing relationships and meeting the right artists.
Talk to us a little bit about you choosing the artists for this. How much of a process was that for you for this Kickstarter?
So it was a fascinating process, and it actually added an extra year. I thought I was going to have this book kickstarted last year, and I went in with a specific mindset thinking, you know, maybe this should be an all-female artistic crew. I spent the year not all female, but predominantly female artistic crew, and spent the year going to cons, meeting artists, reading works and looking and just trying to do everything on my own. And I really got nowhere, you know. I didn't get callbacks, emails, even if I met them in person, and and sometimes ghosted. I said, you know, I'm not moving anywhere here. This for new art. I mean, I'll talk about some of the other artists. So I started, I'm part of a group called Comics, what is it called now? It changes names. Comics Connections. It was formerly, it's Comics Experience that combined with CPI, Comics Connections now, and met a wonderful person, an agent for artists, Chris Allo of Magnus Arts. So I had my cousin Aaron Guzman, who is the book designer and does a lot of the graphic prose art in here, and is the artist for a 25-page comic inside this book. I have Seth Martell from that we do a lot of works together.
Seth is a great guy. He's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, Seth's a great guy. Yeah. Rafael Romeo Magat, we did a work together already. But in those two examples of Seth and Rafael, these are artists that reached out to me, right? They reached out to me. My cousin is my cousin and reached out to me as an artist. I want to work with you. The only artists, and I'll get back to Chris in a second, of Magnus Art, I think the only artist that, and then the ones that were patrons of, and, you know, we have their art, Tracy168 and Bluster1, James Alisea, we had those established relationships. I think the only artist in here who was just a cold query, and I had been following him for 2 years, I think, or a year on Instagram, and I said, I would love to get art to work with this artist. And that's rare for me, right? Like, I love working with just different styles, but this, you know, took my breath away, was Armando Ramirez. So I didn't reach out to him until I actually had I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to mess it up. I want to make sure, you know, I have a product that I can pitch. You know, and this like a classic example of you get worked up, and he freaking like answered me within an hour. It's like, sure. It's like, I spent 2 years, you know, trying to outreach to you. So I was successful with that cold query. But the rest, I had the enjoyment of working with Chris Allo of Magnus Arts. And the great thing with Chris is that he used to work for Marvel for a number of years, and he works with many artists that work in Marvel, DC, independent, their own stuff, everything. And you tell him what you want, what you like. He starts sending you samples based on that. And I was so fortunate to get Karen S. Darboe as the cover artist. And that, again, timing, she wasn't available at one point, but then the project got delayed. And he's like, oh, by the way, it's like a year later, Karen's available now. I was like, are you kidding? Yes, I'd love to work with Karen S. Darbo. Eric Nguyen, he did a five-page comic with me, amazing artist. Chris DeLara, she I think recently did a Wonder Woman cover, pinup. Just wonderful artists. So once I got Magnus Arts on board, I was able to complete the look for Event Horizon and use artists that were outside of my normal circle. And it was exciting. And I think the three covers that you see reflect the different types of styles and unconventional choices that I made with this book. We're looking at the preview. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk to us a bit about some of the tiers that people can expect in the Kickstarter.
Sure. So we start out with, and I'm going to either squint or I'm going to look at my little paper handout. So we start out with a digital tier. So we do have an ebook for $15. And all these prices on Kickstarter are discounted. There's a discount hidden somewhere in the prices. And then we have for 24 hours, early bird special, Karen wow. S. Darboux hardcover. So the Karen S. Darboux hardcover for $69 that lasts for 24 hours gives you a free digital ebook plus 10% off. I think it's like $25 off this tier. And what's beautiful about this book, besides Karen's art, is that it's hardcover. So I'm printing all hardcovers. And this one is going to be foil stamped. So you're going to see wow. those drips of spaghettification. So the book very much plays with the theme of spaghettification, which for black hole languages, what happens to you when you fall into a black hole? You are spaghettified. You are stretched into spaghetti. You are stretched into particles. So you'll see a lot of that drip, drip, drip theme throughout the okay. book. So that's the early bird tier, only available starting Tuesday when we launch April 9th, ending the following day, April 10th at like 10:59 a.m. After that, the Karen Darboux book goes to for $79. You also see okay. The Ramirez and Eilenfeld. Galen Eilenfeld did the colors for okay. that particular cover. Also for $79, you get an ebook with it. We do have a special tier honoring Tracy 168. There's only 24 of those. You get a Karen Darboux cover with that, but we're also giving away free Tracy 168 signature enamel pins and postcards with original artwork that he did with me, which is valued over $26. And we're doing that in memory. Rest in peace, Tracy. We love you. He passed away this past November. And these were the official, and these are the remaining pins that we produced with him. So these are his official pins, and we want to honor his life by giving them to fans. So that's why we made it in a special tier, specifically for those that can appreciate that. And you right. get that free with the book. And then we have the very special limited edition. We're only printing 100 of these. This is what I call the artist book for the Event Horizon collection. The Bluster One, James Alisea. So this one is based on original canvas work he did for Event Horizon. And we took the canvas image and wrapped it around the cover. So those drips go from front to back. It's going to be printed also hardcover on textured paper to have like that feel of canvas work. So those are $89 and we're limiting it to about 100. And then there's other
keep in mind too that the, mm-hmm. the other piece, like this is a 240-page book, too.
Yes,
this
isn't, thank you.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention that, guys. This ain't no, like, it's not a floppy. It's 240 pages, full color, 6 prose wow. stories, I believe, 3 comics. Where are my notes? original canvas work throughout, original canvas work, original photography. It measures 6.75 inches by 9.5 inches inside. And they have customized, each book has customized end papers, which is also exciting. Okay. After that, there's just special bundle tiers for if you get 2 books, if you get 3 books. Right. And at significant discounts, we have a book club tier for those of you that want to start a book club or be Santa Claus. That includes an author visit. We have what we call a ringularity. So a spinning black hole doesn't have what we say a singularity, which is what we think of as maybe being inside a non-rotating black hole as an infinitely dense point. But a ringularity of spinning black holes, that is for you donors out there. That's for you big spenders that maybe want to help us donate Event Horizon to some libraries to help with giving some of the artist comp copies. And then there's fun add-ons. I have a lot of nice stickers and poster packs. I'm a sticker girl. This is one of the stickers of Alita, the main character on the cover. So lots of fun things that you could also add as add-ons. So But the focus are the books in these three variant colors. And you can see I use comic book culture and brought it to prose. You know, normally you don't do that in prose world, except in artist books. You stick to one cover. Mm. But I'm bringing that multiverse, parallel universe comic culture and giving you guys three very different covers to choose from by amazing artists.
That's amazing. That's so you can definitely tell that there's been a lot of thought put into this, all the tier ratings and how it was all set up, and I'm really excited to see this journey that you've been talking about doing this for a long time. I know, Stephanie, you've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah. And it's hard for me because I'm a doer. Like I don't procrastinate on anything. Mm-hmm. I don't have writer's block or any of those things. And it's humbling to do a book like this, where it's a collection and there's lots of different artists and everyone has different lives and time schedules. It's a very nice lesson on being patient and not rushing things, you know, and rolling with it. I mean, I definitely rolled with this book. I took my time to understand it too and wrote a whole new story after I saw some of the themes that were emerging in some of the writing. It's an humbling experience, and I so appreciate all the artists that put their heart in the artwork that they created. I'm humbled that a lot of these bigger name artists, big name artists, these recognized artists, these celebrated artists would collaborate me and help transform some ideas and make their own storytelling with their talents.
Right. Perfect. So Stephanie, any final thoughts or observations?
Final thoughts. Please back this Kickstarter. If not, definitely check out this Kickstarter. We kickstart Tuesday, April 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Don't forget your solar eclipse glasses the day before. So if you have the ability of sight, you'll still have it the next day to look at my Kickstarter page. The eclipse is actually a great, I think, way for us to pretend there's a black hole in the sky. There's a lot of similarities in that look. Do check it out. Do support independent artists. Do share it if this interests you. I do feel that this book is for many people. It's just, I think, very different in how it caters to both mind, pleasure, and intellect. You're going to see a lot of amazing styles in here. And we run through May 10th-ish. We are celebrating NASA's Black Hole Week. That's NASA actually has a Black Hole Week that they celebrate from, I think, May, don't quote me, but it ends on May 10th. So celebrate the astrophysical wonders of space and black holes with us. And check us out. I think you'll like it.
Perfect. Stephanie, once again, it's amazing chatting with you. And you got to do it more often. And this has been fun.
Definitely, Barney. Thanks for having me again. I don't even remember your question now, Barney. Did it have to be science fiction? I call every interview, there's one brain fog, and that was the brain fog moment. I think.